This is Carter Paluni's world.
Kim turned back to face the crowd who were all staring past her at the fantastic sight outside the space station. Eternally bored, she continued her well-practiced spiel.
A whole world cut off from the universe. Those who dare tread too near its atmosphere are struck down by its demonic scarlet lightning.
As always, there were a few nervous gasps and giggles from the punters.
Don't worry, we at Universal Heritage are fully aware of how close we can get. A few kilometers closer and we too would be struck down, but we're perfectly safe here. And we're close enough to observe what some call the Devil's World. Carter Paluni herself discovered the planet in...
Kim trailed off as she noticed a man standing at the back of the crowd. He wasn't like the others. He wasn't gawping, slack-jawed, out of the window. He was staring at her, and he was stunning. He noticed her looking at him, and he grinned. Kim felt herself blushing for the first time in years. She looked away and continued.
Carter Paluni, of course, died when her explorer craft was struck by the lightning. She burnt in the atmosphere, with some pronouncing it a punishment for her blasphemy. Of course, we live in more enlightened times now, and nobody truly believes that there's some kind of vengeful god at work down there. But over the years, hundreds of scientists have studied the lightning that constantly surrounds the planet, and not one...
She paused, and then, as ever, repeated, not one, for emphasis.
Not one has been able to identify what the lightning is. Nobody knows what causes it. Nobody knows what secrets are protected by...
She trailed off again as the man pushed through to the front of the crowd.
Well, he didn't so much push as they simply parted for him. He grinned again at her. God, he was beautiful.
A blue-skinned Crispalian asked Kim whether the planet was inhabited.
Nobody knows,
she replied with a practiced, spooky tone.
The lightning skies are completely impenetrable. What's on the surface of the 26th wonder of the universe? Nobody knows.
So how about we find out? It was the man. And as she stared into his eyes, she found herself wondering, for the first time in her 3 years on the Carter Paluni's run, what was down there? What secrets were being protected by the crimson lightning?
How do you mean?
She asked quietly. He shrugged and grinned. We could find a way. What about it? You and me. An adventure. You could be my companion.
For some reason, the word seemed to amuse him.
Kim stared. He was tall, well-built, and handsome.
Possibly human.
He was wearing some kind of old-fashioned coat, but it was those eyes and that grin. There was something of the devil in that grin. She turned and looked back out at the planet as it snarled and lashed out at the universe. She stared at the crimson skies, with its clouds the color of blood, and she suddenly appreciated its terrifying beauty. The scarlet lightning, the endless storm that hid the planet's secrets from the universe. And for the first time, Kim Ashman, already feeling old at 26, wanted to know what those secrets were. She needed to know.
She turned back to face the crowd, to face him. But she'd turned away for too long. He'd gone.
Down on Carter Paluni's world, a flash of bright white light signaled the arrival of Captain Jack Harkness. He looked up at the scarlet lightning and grinned. Rain, the color of blood, lashed down on him, and loud thunder rumbled across the skies. It was terrifying, but so fantastic.
Looks like I'm finally in hell, he said to himself. Let's just hope it's ready for me.
Torchwood, Red Skies by Joseph Lidster. Read by John Telfer.
Jack Harkness surveyed the scene around him. He was in a city. Grey buildings huddled together under the red lightning. He watched people splashing through red puddles as they went about their business. They looked human, but their skin, like their city, was grey. He stopped a well-built, middle-aged man. "Hi, I'm kind of new in town. Can you tell me where the nearest bar is?" The man just stared at Jack's strange clothes and flesh tone, then silently pointed towards a nearby side street. He rushed away before Jack could thank him.
"Have a nice day," Jack shouted.
Okay, so the people might be grey and unfriendly, but bars were the same across the universe. Bars were fun. And Jack wanted some fun. He wanted to be away from the human race, away from Torchwood, away from anyone and anything that knew him. Jack Harkness wanted a holiday, and where better to get completely away from it all than Cotter Paluni's world, a planet cut off from the entire universe. He stopped and looked up at the bar. Like every other building in the city, it was built out of some strange, dull grey clay. From inside, though, he could hear the sounds of people drinking, laughing, talking, and drinking. Perfect. As in any good Western, the clientele fell silent as Jack entered. He realized, of course, that they wouldn't be used to strangers around here, and flashed them all a grin as he surveyed the bar. It was an old-fashioned pub full of old-fashioned people, sipping pints of something thick, murky, and green. Despite their grey skin and dead eyes, they were all, Jack instantly noticed, in good shape. He'd found himself on the planet of the fit people. He strode up to the bar, checked his reflection in the mirror behind it, and caught the attention of the barmaid. She was in her early 20s, and according to her name badge, she was called Heather. "Hi, Heather," Jack said with a smile. "Got any specials on offer today?" She looked at him suspiciously.
"Who are you?"
"The name's Jack Harkness. Yeah, I know, white skin. Great skin, though, don't you think?" She stared, but there was a hint of a smile.
"What are you?"
"I'm a complicated space-time event," Jack grinned as Heather froze, then giggled, clearly bemused. "No, I'm a visitor, just after a nice cold drink of..." He looked around, then leaned in conspiratorially.
"What's the green stuff?" "Vegetable puree,"
she replied, as if it was obvious.
"Alcohol content?" Jack asked. "What's alcohol?"
Jack's face fell.
No wonder everyone was so grey. "You don't have alcohol? No wine, beer, spirits?"
She shook her head.
"Don't know what you're talking about."
Jack took a deep breath, then smiled again. "Doesn't matter. I'm on a planet where everyone clearly spends their day in the gym and nobody knows who I am. It's fine."
"Sorry,"
she smiled, confused but amused.
"Should I know what a planet is? Only I'm not that bright."
He shook his head. "Don't you worry about it, Heather. Just pour me a glass of the green stuff." She fetched a glass of the vegetable puree and handed it over to him.
"There you go."
She gave him a huge flirtatious grin.
"Oh, and praise be to Torchwood."
Jack was still coughing up juice as Heather jumped out from behind the bar and slapped him on the back.
"You all right?"
she asked. When he got his breath back, he turned to her and stared.
"What did you just say?" "I asked if you were all right." "Before that?" I didn't know what a planet was, although I was kidding about not being bright. I'm just doing this before I start in..."
He interrupted her.
"After that?"
She shook her head, clearly confused.
"Praise be to Torchwood?"
"Torchwood?"
"Torchwood."
There was a pause. Jack stared coolly at Heather.
"Torchwood?" "Yeah, Torchwood. Praise be to Torchwood."
A man and a woman were now standing near to them, waiting to be served. Heather gave Jack another flirtatious grin.
"I'll be back in a minute. Don't go anywhere."
She went back behind the bar and smiled politely at the couple.
"Two glasses of..."
she gave Jack a wink.
"The green stuff?"
The couple nodded.
Thanks, said the man, and praise be to Torchwood.
Praise be to Torchwood,
Heather answered, handing over the drinks.
Praise be to Torchwood,
the man's companion intoned.
Jack strode over to the three of them.
Stop it! Why are you saying that? How are you saying that?
The couple gave him a nervous look and scurried off. Heather turned to Jack.
Really? Look, you're clearly not from around here, but you must have heard of Torchwood.
Jack nodded slowly.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of Torchwood. I just don't understand how you have.
Torchwood is everything. Torchwood is God.
Jack looked down at his drink suspiciously. I've not been drugged, and I'm definitely not drunk.
So you're really saying that? Torchwood is God?
Heather nodded.
Maybe we could talk about it later, after I finished my shift. You could take me out for dinner.
I just wanted a holiday,
Jack said with a dramatic sigh. Heather stood back, clearly offended.
Yeah, all right. I was meant to be meeting Ryan anyway.
No, I didn't mean you. I just meant...
He trailed off.
Please, yes, let's go for dinner once you're done here, and we can talk.
He shook his head, laughing.
Torchwood is God.
Heather smiled at him. Then she stopped smiling. And then she started burning. Jack leapt over the bar as red lightning suddenly surrounded the girl. Her clothes and her hair were already on fire. It had happened so quickly that she hadn't even screamed at first. Now, as Jack desperately tried to find water, towels, anything, she started to shriek. She was an inferno of dark crimson fire. Her clear grey skin was bubbling, and the stench of burning flesh was overpowering. She stared at Jack as the light faded from her eyes.
Praise be to Torchwood!
The young barmaid gasped as she died, her charred corpse falling at Jack's feet. And then there was silence. Jack turned to look at the empty bar. Everyone else had fled. It was just him, a blackened corpse, and Heather's singed name badge. He crouched down and whispered,
I'm so sorry.
Then, as he stood up, a voice rang out.
Captain Jack Harkness, I'm arresting you for the murder of Heather Blades.
He turned to see a young policeman standing in the doorway, pointing a pistol at him.
Oh, and, the man continued. Praise be to...
Jack interrupted with a sigh. Yeah, I know. Torchwood. Not for the first time in his life, Jack was sitting in a cold, damp cell, trying to work out what the hell was going on. Torchwood was an Earth organization. In the future, when the human race left their home world, they'd take the name with them. But not now. Not at this point in time. And Kotapaluni's world was cut off from the universe. This just wasn't possible. Could it be a coincidence? Somehow he doubted it, especially after Heather's death. The policeman had known his name. Someone on this planet knew who he was, and they were out to get him. Heather had died because of him. Jack fought back the feelings of guilt. He wasn't going to be that man. People died. That was his life. But he hadn't killed Heather. Like so many others before her, she'd simply been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
It's not my fault,
he muttered. But as there was nobody else there, he knew it was only himself he was trying to convince. Jack sat at the table, staring coldly at the young policeman who'd arrested him. I didn't do it, he said, keeping his voice calm. You do know that. The policeman glanced down at the file in front of him.
You're Jack Harkness, yes?
Jack nodded as the policeman looked up. He was young, mid-20s at most. Grey skin, fair hair, deep blue eyes. He seemed slightly detached from the world, as if he was just going through the motions, putting on an act.
My name is Detective Hoyer,
You've been charged with causing the death of Heather Blades, aged 21.
How?
Jack kept a cool, calm tone to his voice. How did I do it?
The policeman stared at him.
By committing blasphemy, of course.
For the briefest moment, Jack noticed a flicker of uncertainty in the detective's eyes.
Blasphemy?
That's what the record says. You'll face the court tomorrow. The chances are that Torchwood will find you guilty.
I'm to be judged by your God?
Detective Hoyer looked confused.
Torchwood is also the government. Torchwood is everything. You must know that.
A brief look of uncertainty again flashed in the detective's eyes. Jack seized upon it.
No, I didn't know that. And if it's so obvious, why would I pretend not to know? Makes no sense.
The policeman shrugged.
Trying to reduce your sentence by claiming you're insane? Only a madman wouldn't know about Torchwood.
Jack shook his head.
I'm not saying I'm mad, but look at me. Do I look like I'm from around here?
Your skin is odd, that's true. But where else could you be from? There is nowhere else. There's only Torchwood.
Jack's eyes widened.
So you're saying Torchwood is the name of your city as well?
Torchwood is everything.
And praise be to Torchwood, Jack exclaimed.
What's your name, Detective Hoyer?
The policeman looked confused.
Detective Hoyer?
Your first name. Look, what difference does it make if you tell me?
Jack knew it could actually make all the difference.
He'd seen how Gwen Cooper worked.
She'd always made that personal connection. She'd got results through being nice.
Well, Jack could do nice.
Torsten.
Detective Torsten Hoyer.
Well,
Torsten, I'm Jack. You can see from my skin that I'm not from around here. You know for a fact that it's impossible for me to have killed Heather. You know you got to the bar far too quickly. You were there seconds after she died. You also knew my name, which means I'm on file somehow, and yet I clearly don't know about your world. I'm clearly not from around here. Therefore, there's a bit of mystery. And I like mysteries, and I don't know, there's something I'm seeing in your eyes which suggests to me you do, too. You're not a grunt. You don't just want to do your job and go home, and are you married?
Torsten shook his head.
Jack gave him a smirk.
Pleased to hear it. So you don't just want to go home and do whatever it is you do at home. You want justice. You want answers. I'm impossible, and that intrigues you. Are you intrigued, Torsten? Intrigued and perhaps a little turned on?
Torsten stood up sharply and turned away. Jack cursed himself. Sometimes he couldn't help himself.
Sorry, I didn't mean that. But you are intrigued.
Torsten stayed silent with his back to Jack. He was looking out of the window at the red rain. Then, quietly, he spoke.
Where are you from?
Well,
began Jack before Torsten cut him off.
And don't talk to me like I'm a child. I'm not a child, Mr. Harkness. Tell me the truth.
And so Jack told Torsten about the universe. He told him about the galaxies and the stars. He told him about his home world. He told him about his travels through time and space. He told him about the worlds and civilizations that lived and breathed throughout time. And he told him about Torchwood, Earth's Torchwood, his Torchwood. He told him about the aliens and the darkness. He told him about his own brother. He told him about the 456, about Oswald Daines. But he also told him about the light. He told him about Owen and Tosh and Esther and Gwen. He even told him about Yanto Jones. He told him everything.
Torsten continued to stare out at the rain.
So now you must really think I'm mad, said Jack with a sardonic grin.
I knew a madman once, Thorsten replied. My grandfather. He'd been out at work. He had his shop. Nothing special, but that night when he came home, he came into my room to tell me a bedtime story. I was a kid then, obviously. This wasn't last week or anything. Thorsten gave a nervous laugh. Jack smiled. Doing a Gwen Cooper had worked. The cold policeman was thawing. Go on. So he sits on my bed and he tells me about what he's seen, but he swears me to secrecy. You, Mr. Harkness, are the first person I've told. He said that, as he'd opened his shop, he'd looked up at the lightning and he'd seen a break or something, a crack in the clouds. The sky is red. Everything up there is red. But he saw black. There was this tiny hole in the sky, and there was black behind it. I was terrified, but he said not to be. He said it had given him hope, because in the black there were these little white specks of light, like cities in the sky. He said that he believed one day we'd find those cities. He said there were other people outside of Torchwood. He was right, Jack replied. He was killed for it, said Thorsten. Torchwood struck him down for his blasphemy. I'm sorry, said Jack, but if neither of you said anything to anyone else, how did Torchwood know? Because, said Thorsten, turning to look at Jack, Torchwood sees everything. And sitting alone in a dark, terrifying scarlet kingdom so many miles away, the living god Torchwood watched the events unfolding. And he knew that the devil, Jack Harkness, had to be stopped.
He must feel guilt. He must remember her.
Jack stood up slowly and walked towards Thorsten.
We could investigate this, he said, quietly. You and me.
You expect me to turn my back on my career? My whole life?
Jack shrugged. It's either that or you cart me off to jail and you never find out the truth. You never find out what killed your grandfather. Thorsten's eyes burned.
Torchwood killed him.
Well, said Jack, and this is something I never thought I'd say, but let's bring down Torchwood. Suddenly, he felt a stabbing pain in his back, and then the agony spread, and he looked down to see that he was on fire. Red lightning surrounded his body, and he was vaguely aware of Thorsten backing away, terrified, as the heat became too much, and everything went from red to... black. The sound of water slowly dripping into a pool, drop by drop. The darkness parts like a veil, and looking around, I know where I am. The hub, my old base. Memories come flooding back as I survey the strange, ancient, magical place I once called home. I never realized before how much I missed it. A ridiculous cavern under Cardiff Bay. The stone and brick walls, the computers and the alien tech. The smell of coffee and danger and lust. My home for so many years. Of course, it no longer exists. It's been destroyed by fire. And so, I know this isn't real. I look down at my feet, and I'm not surprised to see they're not there. I'm not here. I'm a ghost. And there, where my feet should be, is a Christmas card. A Christmas card covered in blood. I hear the main entrance door open and turn to look as a man enters. It's me. And I know when this is. New Year's Eve, 1999.
My younger self is discovering the body on the floor. James Unsworth. He's checking for James's pulse and pulling out his gun. He's rushing over to Karen Baldwin's body. No pulse. He's looking up and seeing Alex, my old boss, my friend, Alex Hopkins. And they're talking. Alex is saying how he's seen what's coming. The 21st century is when everything is going to change. I wonder if he meant the 456, the devastation caused by the blessing. Or is there still more to come? And then Alex is shooting himself, his blood striking the younger me across the face, the smell and taste of blood, red, soaking his face. So much blood falling like...
Red rain. Jack opened his eyes and saw the red rain pouring down as lightning clashed with thunder across the sky. He and Torsten were outside the police station, the young detective supporting Jack's weight.
Back with us, Mr. Harkness. I had some kind of vision, a flashback, he said, still gasping for air. Oh, and I was on fire.
I saw, and yet you're alive, and your clothes don't have a mark on them.
Jack was about to reply, but Torsten continued,
I suggest we find somewhere else to talk. It won't take long for my superiors to work out what I've done.
Torsten, I could kiss you.
The policeman gave Jack a cold look.
It's Detective Hoyer, and I don't appreciate comments like that.
A siren started to wail behind them. They heard movement from inside the police station as orders were barked and men were mobilized.
When I say run, Jack began.
But Torsten was already running. They ran down street after street, a seemingly endless stream of policemen following on foot. Jack couldn't help but grin, for a guy who'd lived for so very long, his life really didn't change that much. Wherever he was, whoever he was with, he always seemed to be running away from figures of authority. And he loved it. An hour later, they were in an abandoned warehouse. Again, Jack thought, nothing changes. Always warehouses. He was sitting on an old crate, as Torsten was, once again, staring out of the window.
I think we've lost them, said the young detective quietly.
Of course we have, Jack replied. Now sit down, relax. We need to work out our next move.
I'm happier standing, thank you.
Suit yourself, said Jack.
For a while there was silence except for the storm raging outside. Then Jack cleared his throat.
Look, Torsten, sorry, Detective Hoyer, I'm sorry if I offended you earlier. You're not gay. Fine, I was just having fun.
The policeman turned on him.
Fun? You think life is fun? You think what I've done? You think it's some kind of joke? I'll be struck down. I've committed blasphemy. I've left everything, and I don't even know why.
You want to find out the truth?
The detective started to laugh, but it wasn't a happy sound.
You really think you and I can stop this? We can change everything?
Jack smiled at him.
I've pulled down governments. I've saved whole planets. I've survived hen nights in Cardiff. Trust me.
The detective shrugged.
What choice have I got?
He pulled up a crate and sat down.
So, what do we do?
Torchwood is your religion, yeah? And your government. So there's got to be religious buildings. Government headquarters? We need to start investigating.
Torsten nodded.
The hub, 3 blocks from here. It's the monastery where our Lord and government meet.
Jack drummed his fingers together.
The hub?
He shook his head and frowned.
I don't understand any of this. My memories...
Torsten looked down at the floor.
Did you, you know, maybe want to talk about them? Or something?
He asked quietly. Jack looked over at him, surprised. Not a complete robot, then, he thought to himself. He found himself grinning. Wait, it's a monastery. Would it be wrong to make a joke about bad habits? Thorsten looked up and gave the tiniest of smiles.
Yes, Mr. Harkness. Yes, it would.
Praise be to Torchwood,
intoned Brother Michael.
Praise be to Torchwood, replied Brother Thomas, smiling politely, hoping that Brother Michael would head straight into the monastery. It wasn't that he didn't like him, but Brother Michael could be a bit...
Oh, my Torchwood! Have you heard what's happened in town?
Brother Michael squealed. Brother Thomas kept the polite smile forced on his face and shook his head.
Well, you know I'm not one to gossip, but Sheila at the shop told me that there's been a case of blasphemy at the pub.
Mm.
That barmaid, Heather thingy, whoosh, up in flames. And get this, turns out that there was a stranger, and they've arrested him, and...
Brother Michael lowered his voice to a whisper.
His skin is white.
Brother Thomas was about to reply, but...
Now, I've heard about that Heather, and they reckoned she was committing blasphemy all the time. She was engaged to Ryan Hooper, you know, the mayor's son, but they reckoned she was, well, doing things with other men.
I know!
Anyway, Sheila at the shop said that Brother Kevin told her that the man they arrested, the stranger, apparently he was like something not of Torchwood. He was different. Of course, I don't believe everything Sheila says, because you know how she goes on with all her chatter. But then I was talking to Sergeant Henriksen, and he said that they did arrest someone, but he's escaped. He could be blaspheming all over the bloody place. I mean, he might even come here.
Brother Thomas didn't think that this was very likely, and was about to tell Brother My...
And it makes you think, doesn't it? Is he an angel sent from Torchwood? Did he strike Heather down? Or is he a devil? Imagine if he's a devil. Imagine the blasphemy. I don't mind admitting that, frankly, I'm terrified.
Brother Thomas, observing the excited grin on Brother Michael's face, suspected he was far from terrified. He was tempted to say so when a voice called out from a nearby alley.
You two, quickly!
Brother Thomas turned to see a policeman standing in the rain.
Praise be to Torchwood.
Praise be to Torchwood,
the policeman replied.
Quickly, I need your help. There's a man down here committing blasphemy.
OMG,
exclaimed Brother Michael as he ran towards the alley quicker than Brother Thomas had seen anyone move in his life. He followed warily. In the alley, he joined Michael and the policeman in staring at the blasphemer. He was a man, presumably the stranger from the pub, with strange pale white skin. He was standing at the end of the alley, letting the rain splash over him, and he was grinning. But before he noticed all that, the first thing Brother Thomas saw was that he was completely naked.
"Hey, guys," said the devil.
"Oh, my Torchwood,"
muttered Brother Michael. "No," the devil replied with another grin. "I'm just a very naughty boy." Brother Thomas heard the policeman moving behind him, and then, thankfully, everything went black.
"You never said you were going to be naked," muttered Torsten.
Jack laughed as they looked down at the two monks they'd knocked out. They'd carried them into the warehouse, stripped them, tied them up, and were just finishing putting on their habits. "I never miss an opportunity to be naked," Jack grinned at the detective from under the hood of his habit. "Now, do I look suitably pious?" And so far away, the living god Torchwood seethed.
"Such blasphemy! Make him remember! He must remember!"
"He will remember," replied God's second voice. "He will remember now."
Water is falling near me, splashing onto grey concrete. I'm standing at the entrance to the hub, and there in front of me is Gwen Cooper. She looks so young, so raw.
so different from the strong, confident wife and mother she's become. And there, standing in front of her with a gun, is Susie Costello. And I know what's going to happen. I remembered that night so clearly. Susie. Oh, she'd made the right jokes to fit in with the team, said the right things. But even now, I regret not just once taking her out, getting her drunk, getting her to tell me about her life, about her father. But it's too late now, far too late. She's raising the gun, and she's blowing her own brains out. And the gunshot echoes. Suddenly, I'm standing on a pier, and a dying Gwen lies at my feet. Susie is reborn, stealing Gwen's life. But I know she's going again. Her body ripped apart by the bullets from my gun. And those bullets echo as I find myself in the remains of the hub. I never witnessed her third death. But I'm seeing it now. A policeman. A bomb. My imagination drawing the pictures for me as everything explodes and Susie Costello is finally dead. And I never get to ask her why. Was it my fault? Did I kill her because I never asked her why? The world collapses around me, and I'm falling. Captain Jack Harkness, always falling.
He woke up on a warehouse floor to see a beautiful angel looking down at him. Just like the old days.
What was it this time?
Asked Torsten. Jack just shook his head, determined not to give in to the doubts that were gnawing at him.
Let's get to work, detective, he said, pulling the habit's hood over his head. I can still see your face, said Torsten. You're the wrong color.
Jack shrugged. Not much I can do about that. Torsten bent down and scooped up a handful of gray sludge that had gathered up against a pile of crates. Jack raised an eyebrow.
You wouldn't stand out so much, said Torsten.
Jack turned on him, suddenly furious.
You know what? I like standing out. I like being me.
He regretted it instantly as Torsten backed away.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. It's just...
He trailed off.
Torchwood's fire? The memories?
Jack nodded.
Whatever it is, it's trying to make me hate myself or hate what I've done. But I'm not giving in to it. Give me the damn goo, and then I'll be as gray as you lot in your city.
Jack scooped the gunk out of Torsten's hand, noticing the detective flinch as they touched, and then smeared it onto his face.
Let's just hope it's good for the skin.
They stood outside the hub and looked up and up. The huge grey monastery loomed over them like something out of a Hammer horror movie. The crimson lightning snarling across the blood-red clouds made for a suitably dramatic backdrop.
Scared?
Asked Jack from under his hood.
Itchy, replied Torsten, scratching at his habit.
Jack was about to make a joke when he stopped. Clearly, Torsten had issues, and it'd be better not to upset him. Once he was inside the monastery, he could dump him somewhere and head on alone. He should have brought that girl from the space station with him. They faced two huge wooden doors. Each had a mirror where usually a window might be. And above the doors, hand-carved into the clay, was the phrase, "Say what you see." Jack smiled, remembering an old British TV quiz show he'd used to watch with Yanto. His smile grew as he remembered their own version of the game.
Torchwood will only let us in if we face up to what we are, explained Torsten.
Fine, Jack muttered before staring at his own reflection.
So, I see Captain Jack Harkness. Good bone structure, great skin, a few extra lines, but that just adds character. He paused. And good hair, definitely good hair.
He grinned as the door opened. Then he turned to look at Torsten. The detective was staring at his reflection with an almost blank expression. There was something in his eyes. Confusion? Doubt? Jack wasn't sure.
Torsten said quietly. I see
Me.
The door opened. After you, Brother Torsten, said Jack with a grin. Torsten entered the gloomy monastery and was soon swallowed up by the darkness. Jack winked at his reflection, then followed.
Such vanity, such pride,
muttered the god Torchwood.
He is the ultimate, sir.
Then why let him in?
Asked God's second voice.
He was honest with his reflection, but he must realize his own guilt before he is struck down.
Jack and Torsten crept along the corridor. As with everything else on the planet, it was made of the grim, grey clay. Candles flickered, but their light felt cold and forbidding. In the distance echoed the sound of monks chanting, repeating the word Torchwood over and over. Both said little, but when they did speak, it was with a quiet whisper.
You're very blasphemous, said Torsten.
Jack smiled at him.
I'll take that as a compliment.
But aren't you scared about what comes next?
Jack shook his head.
You get one life, Torsten.
There's something you said earlier,
began Torsten.
And it's just, I've never told anyone before, but I think I could tell you, and...
Jack stopped walking and looked at the policeman. There was so much fear and doubt in the young man's eyes. He was about to ask him what he was talking about when...
I'm in a room full of eyes all staring at me, and I recognize each one. And the room's exploding, and I'm in so many places at so many times. I love you too, says Yanto's ghost before he fades away to join the others. A pub's collapsing around me, and we're in Tim's house, and he's dying in my arms, and oh God, I don't want to see this again. And it's not just him. I'm in St. Helen's Hospital looking down as the light fades in Lucia's eyes, and she's gone, leaving me with another lonely child. And me and that child, my daughter, are there as my grandson dies in front of us. Stephen shaking to his death, murdered by me. And they're all staring with so much hate at what I've done. And my brother, his eyes are blank as he stabs me, and he's another who hates me. And so does Gwen. Gwen driving down that highway telling me how she hates me because her family are going to die, and it's true, it's all true. I live forever and everyone else gets to die forever. And I remember how Owen told me that, and I see the bullet tear into his skin, and I hear his voice as he dies once more, with Tosh dying in my arms, in the hub, my old base, my old home, covered in the blood of so many. And I hear their voices, Martin's voice as the spaceship explodes, Gary screaming out my name as the alien bomb rips him apart, Emily and Harriet, sweet little Esther on the other side of the world, having to die so that the human race can live, and it's my fault, and there's so much blood on my hands falling from the sky, all my fault, and it's so dark, and maybe now I can sleep, maybe I can rest and sleep and forget their voices, but they're all calling out to me, Clem and Harriet and Emily, and I just wanted to stop. I want Torchwood to stop. I want to stop. Let it all stop, please. But their dead eyes are still staring, and their voices, the voices of those I've killed, are calling out to me.
Mr. Harkness!
Jack's eyes flickered open. He was in a grey room. A single candle flickered in the corner, offering no warmth and very little light. A young, innocent man who had given up his life for him was cradling his head. A young man who would probably end up dying for him. The man, Torsten, looked down at him.
You're heavier than you look,
he said with a small smile.
This is hell,
whispered Jack.
This place, it's my hell.
Thorsten shook his head, also whispering,
Please, don't give up on me, on us.
Jack struggled to sit up. He couldn't look at Thorsten.
You should go. Go home, Thorsten Hoye. Go back to your normal life. Say I drugged you or threatened you or something. I can't let you be another Esther, another Yanto.
Thorsten stood up and moved towards a doorway. Monks chanting echoed from the blackness outside.
You collapsed in the corridor, so I dragged you in here. I don't think anyone saw us.
Jack, still getting his breath back, ignored him.
Please, just go. I'm not giving up. I'll find out what's happening, but you've got to go.
Thorsten, in turn, ignored him and continued, his voice quiet.
I've noticed something. The corridors, the floors, everything's going down. I think we might be underground now.
Thorsten, go! Go back to your life and live it! Don't let me kill you!
The young detective turned back to look at him.
I haven't got a life, Jack,
he whispered, his face lit by the single flickering candle.
You want to know about my life? Look behind you.
Despite himself, Jack turned to see some ancient wooden shelves. He shrugged.
Books?
This must be a storeroom. Those are copies of our Bible.
Thorsten picked up one of the books and handed it to Jack.
Read it now. Read the Law of Torchwood.
Jack opened the book and started to read. There were rules about what the people could eat and drink. Only fruit and vegetables, all very healthy.
Explains why you're all so fit,
he muttered to Thorsten. There were rules about what to wear, what work people could do, and generally how to live.
This is all so wrong. It's so dull.
No music, no drama. It's all about living a simple, healthy life. There's no fun. Turn to the page about love.
There are rules about love?
Thorsten turned away as Jack read out loud. A man and a woman must only have intercourse by agreement with Torchwood. The act must be performed in order to conceive a child.
Jack started to laugh. That's ridiculous. How do you people live?
And I can tell you it's most definitely not the Torchwood lifestyle. He thought back to the donuts and the coffee and the bagels and the dancing and the affairs and...
Wait! A man and a woman? But what about...
Then he looked at Thorsten, and suddenly everything made sense.
I remember when I was a child, I'd always known I was different. I don't know how or why... But there'd been something. Oh, I fitted in okay, had friends. But I was different. I used to wonder if it was because of what my granddad had told me about the white cities and the black, whatever it is you call the thing above the sky. Had that made me different? Had it made me question things? Had it made me wrong? I had a best friend at school. He was called Lawrence, and I don't really remember how we became friends. It just sort of happened in the way that kids becoming friends do. I suppose it doesn't really change when you grow up. Even then, friends are people you meet at work. Or, again, maybe it's different for other people. As Lawrence and I grew up, we developed the same interests. We liked the same books, the same lessons. We both wanted to be policemen. He was always more religious than me. Not that I was ever blasphemous or anything. I knew that Torchwood was all and that we should live by its rules. But again, maybe it was my granddad's story. There was always this chink in my mind, this teeny tiny little chink of wrong.
and that chink got bigger as I got older. You see, I remember when Lawrence and I started to talk about Jenny from school. Everyone liked Jenny. She was good-looking and funny and clever. But then Lawrence started to talk about her differently. Not about her personality or how nice her face was, but about, well, you know, her body, her breasts. What it would be like to do things with her. I mean, I was normal. I wanted to kiss her. Kissing was fun. I'd already done lots of kissing, but suddenly Lawrence seemed wrong to me. They all seemed wrong to me. And it got worse when Jenny started to go out with this boy called Sanjay, partly because Lawrence was jealous and that wasn't nice, but mostly because the thoughts that Lawrence had expressed to me on those nights when we'd talk until the small hours, I was having those thoughts about Sanjay. I couldn't understand it. Torchwood had taught us what was right and what was wrong, and my thoughts about Sanjay were wrong. I was a good person. I did good things. I was nice and polite, and I worked hard, and I exercised, and I ate the right food, and I obeyed the law of Torchwood to the letter. I was so good, so well behaved, so perfect. But that chink, I tried to ignore it. I tried to be like the others, like Lawrence. I'd agree with him. I'd say the right words, make the right noises. I knew if I worked hard at it, I could change it. But it was always there, that chink. And I never understood it. It was as if I had been born with it inside me, and no matter how much I tried to forget about it, it was always there. I did not feel about girls the way that Lawrence and the other boys did. I was wrong, because I liked boys.
Jack stared at Torsten. The young man was staring ahead. The candle's light was reflected in his tears. Jack thought back to the detective's reactions to his innuendo, to the way he'd flinched when they'd touched, to the way he'd followed Jack, helped him out of the station so quickly, to the way he'd followed him.
You're gay.
Torsten shook his head.
I don't know what that means. If it means I'm wrong, then yes.
Jack dropped the book and placed his hands gently on Torsten's arms.
It's not wrong. You're not wrong. This place is. It's almost... I mean, it's ridiculous. I've lived on Earth for so many years, and there were people there who thought it was wrong, but Torsten, look at me.
The terrified young man tried to meet Jack's gaze.
I'm wrong, he said simply. And I'm pathetic because I can't change.
Jack shook his head, then pulled him into his arms. He hugged him, trying to give him strength.
You're not weak. Trust me, you're not. You've done so much today. You've fought against everything you believed in. And you know why?
Torsten shrugged, his head resting on Jack's shoulder.
Because you know this place is wrong. You know your world is wrong, and you want to change it. You've stood up, and you've decided to change it, and that makes you so, so strong.
He pulled back, and before Torsten could move, gently kissed him on the lips.
Welcome to my Torchwood. Oh, they might die, but they're strong, and they die fighting for what's right. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Torsten still crying, laughed.
Look at you with your words. I thought you were just about silly jokes and cheekbones.
Jack smiled back at him, wiping the tears from the young man's eyes.
That's what I'd like to be, what I told that mirror outside. That's what I'd like to be, big old Jack Harkness, having fun, looking good, having sex, one long lifetime of joy. And there is that. That is part of me.
He laughed.
I'm having to fight so hard not to be inappropriate with you right now, but I've seen hell. I've seen it so many times, and sometimes I just get so tired. But I'm the real Torchwood. I do care. I do want to fight. I'm a responsible man now, he laughed. A very, very old responsible man. So you and me, said Torsten, standing back, we're the real Torchwood, and we're going to bring down the fake Torchwood?
Jack nodded.
And then I'm going to show the people on this planet how to live. And we're going to start with beer.
The living god Torchwood writhed in his throne of wire and blood.
This blasphemy spreads.
Your world, our world, their world, he changes it, replied his second voice.
How can we destroy him?
Asked the first voice.
He is immortal, like us.
And the wires in the blood started to whir and thrash as the living god Torchwood prepared for the devil's coming. Jack and Torsten were moving slowly down the dark corridor. A dark crimson light was slowly, so slowly pulsating around them.
You were right, whispered Jack. We're definitely going deeper underground.
So where's the light coming from?
Asked Torsten.
It's red, like the sky.
It's like a heartbeat. I was really hoping you weren't going to say that,
Torsten replied, trying to keep his voice light. Then suddenly he stopped walking.
Wait! Have we got a plan?
I mean, we're about to go up against a living god, and we haven't even got a gun or anything.
Jack stopped as well. He shrugged.
I was just going to improvise.
Fair enough.
They continued walking, deeper and deeper underground.
He is so close. The devil and his blasphemous disciple,
said the first voice. God sounded scared.
I could destroy the disciple with fire, said the second voice.
No! Jack Harkness is the devil, and he is the one who must be destroyed.
I have shown the devil the deaths and the darkness from his past.
And he has ignored them, forgiven himself. Such arrogance.
So I shall show him more. Let me show him more of the darkness he has brought.
Jack and Torsten stopped and looked up at the ancient, rusting metal door. Jack reached out and touched it.
Alien,
he whispered.
Is that good or bad?
Asked Torsten. Jack shrugged.
You ready to go in?
Torsten didn't respond. He just stared at the door and at the blood-red writing scrawled in the clay above it. Torchwood.
Torsten?
The young man stood there, silently staring up at the writing. Jack took his hand in his and gave it a comforting squeeze.
You're scared?
I said it out loud. I said, what's wrong with me? And now he's in there.
Jack shook his head.
It's not a god. I don't know what it is, but it definitely isn't a god.
Big issue, said a voice. Help the homeless.
Jack looked around in confusion, just as he was consumed once more by the redness.
Big issue, help the homeless. The man isn't asking me because I'm not really there. the sounds of traffic, people, that beautiful Welsh accent surrounding me, the 21st century. Is this when everything changes? I try to look around, but I can't. I can only see one thing, one person, Gwen Cooper. She has her hands out, palms facing the ground, trying to calm someone down, so human, so beautiful. But her face changes as I hear the gunshots. Her mouth open in shock as she looks down and I look down and I see her chest burst open. Blood, so much blood, and she's falling and I can see she's dead before she hits the ground. And they're screaming, and I don't know if it's me, but they're screaming as Gwen Cooper's lifeless body falls. And there's so much blood. Everything is so red and so, so wrong.
Torsten was stroking Jack's face as he woke up.
Was it bad?
Jack just stared up at him. Then he jumped to his feet and started to run away from the door back up the corridor.
Where are you going?
Asked Torsten.
Gwen, she's dead. Oh, God, Rhys, Anwen, they can't lose her. But what about us?
Torsten shouted after him.
You're Torchwood. You did this.
Jack stopped, but didn't turn round. Torsten slowly walked towards him.
You said yourself, you're Jack Harkness. You do what's right. You fight. You made me grow up. You made me fight for what's right, for justice. Torchwood did this.
Jack turned back to look at Torsten. He took a deep breath, walked back towards him, and then looked up at the door.
This stops now.
And with a determined shove, he pushed the door wide open and gazed upon God.
He is here,
said the living God Torchwood's second voice.
I can see that, said the first voice.
Jack stared at the monstrosity in front of him. He was vaguely aware that Torsten had fallen to his knees, and that he, too, was staring at the horror. The man, white-skinned like Jack, was sitting in something that pulsated around him. It looked as if it had once been a spaceship. Red walls surrounded a metallic chair. The man sitting in the chair was barely a man anymore. Wires had lashed into his skin, which was stretched in some places impossibly far. One of the man's eyelids had been pulled so high that his eyeball had fallen out, hanging by a bloody thread. His other eye stared wildly at Jack and Torsten. It was almost impossible to tell where the man's ancient dried blood ended and the spaceship's crimson walls began. The machine and the man had become one entity. On two screens, sitting on either side of what had once been the man's head, was a female face. She was calm, just staring ahead. The man's single eye was now focused on Jack.
Who are you?
He said, his voice cracked and broken from what had once been his mouth. Torsten finally tore his gaze away from the monster and looked up at Jack.
It's God! It's the living God, Torchwood! Oh, forgive me!
Jack shook his head sadly.
He's barely alive.
He turned back to look at the horror. Hello, Martin.
Jack! Welcome to my new Torchwood!
Jack reached down and pulled Torsten up. Torsten, I'd like to introduce you to an old friend. He used to be a member of Torchwood back on Earth, and, he smiled sadly, he's not the living god, Torchwood. He's just a man called Martin Gibbons. The monster spoke.
Jack, let me tell you about my new world.
Go ahead.
Jack replied, staring with appalled fascination.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was... Heaven.
Belinda Carlyle's voice sounds from the nearby housing estate as I tread carefully across the wasteland. I press my finger to the device in my ear. It's like a Walkman, but smaller. Jack, can you hear me? I hear his voice, always so confident. Yeah, any luck, Martin? I look down at the alien tracking device as I creep across the scorched earth. We detected it as it crashed through our atmosphere and landed here in Newport. I tell Jack that I'm getting closer to the spaceship. I can see a crater in front of me, and as I climb the mound of earth, there it is, like a giant egg, like a fallen star. I hear Alex's voice. He's new to Torchwood. He still thinks we act for the good of humanity. He'll learn. Excited, he asks me to describe what I can see, but I don't. I just creep forwards, down into the pit. I've seen the hole in the side of the spaceship, and I'm going in myself. I don't tell them that I can hear the woman's voice calling me.
I remember,
Jack said, staring at what remained of Martin.
But we thought you died. What happened?
I'm inside the spaceship. Walls are unnatural, but beautiful. Swirling colors against a sea of red. A woman's face smiles benignly at me. Please, she says, still smiling, please tell me how my child is. I look around, confused. And then I see the body. An alien child, red like fire. His broken body lying at the other side of the room. I'm sorry, I reply. She's still smiling. Then I have failed. Self-destruct sequence initiated. I start to panic, running back towards the hole in the side of the ship. And I stop. If nothing else, Torchwood has made me curious. Or maybe I was curious first, which is why they came to me. I turn back to the woman's face.
Wait, what are you?
I am Ship. I'm Martin. I stare at her, transfixed. She really is beautiful. Hello, Martin. I'm afraid I was damaged in the crash. My mission has failed. My child has died.
You don't need to destroy yourself, I reply. The people here, they could help you.
I can see into your mind. The people here will fear me. They will want to dissect me. They will want to use me as a weapon. I consider lying to her. That's the Torchwood way. But I don't. There's something about her. Something so good.
Yeah, you're right.
What do you want, Martin? What is your wish?
I shrug. And then it's like her grief is in my mind, the darkness. I've seen it in my dreams. I live it every day on Earth. What we do, what Torchwood does, the bad things. Or we do good, but mostly we do bad. I'm so tired of it, of the flotsam and jetsam that comes through the rift, the hopelessness. The guilt I feel as we lock up another alien ready for transport back to London. I can feel her alien grief at her child's death, and
I don't know, I say, tears pouring down my face. Sometimes I just wish we could start again, you know.
I don't understand my world anymore. It's wrong. Which is when my world explodes.
Jack crouched down in front of the monster.
Oh, Martin, you idiot, he said gently. You forgot your training.
She was in my mind. I couldn't stop her.
He was in my mind, said the woman on the screens. I couldn't stop him.
The ship joined with me, said Martin. We became one. We were damaged. We became one.
The two voices were merging.
And we left Earth and created this new world.
Thorsten had joined Jack in front of the machine.
So, you really are our god?
We created you out of the unformed clay. We isolated your world from the sins of the universe. A perfect world.
But it isn't perfect, cried Jack. These people live in fear. Their lives are dull and gray. Oh, you had the best of intentions, but you're both mad. And your madness and grief have fed each other. All these years underground. You must have been so lonely.
Martin's voice broke free from the spaceships.
I know. It went wrong.
He sounded close to tears.
I didn't mean for this to happen. It was a mistake, Jack. I'm so old.
And then God apologized.
So let them go, whispered Jack. Let yourself go. End this now. You should have died. So die now.
The female voice spoke.
He speaks blasphemy.
What remained of Martin spoke.
He must be punished.
Lightning started to crash and thrash around the room, God's madness lashing out. Thorsten stared at his creator, his fear lessening as he saw it for what it really was. Martin's voice broke free once more.
I didn't mean for this,
he screamed. The scarlet lightning lashed out at Jack, who fell to the floor.
You're wrong,
he shouted as the room started to shake.
We are God. We are never wrong. You are wrong, and you must feel guilt.
Jack stood up.
But don't you see, I don't. Oh, I did. I felt so much guilt, but I've forgiven myself. I've been forgiven. By Gwen. By the people of Earth. By the doctor.
He looked up at Thorsten.
By this man here. He reminded me of who I am. People choose their own destinies. It's not my fault.
We are never wrong. We are God.
Jack was about to answer when suddenly he realized something.
Fine,
he replied as he moved to stand behind Thorsten.
So blast me down. Send me to hell.
Thorsten turned back to look at Jack.
What are you doing?
Don't move, Jack replied. Martin's voice spoke.
You are a coward, Jack Harkness.
Jack shook his head.
Just tell me something before you try and kill me. Why haven't you struck Thorsten down? He's committed so much blasphemy today, and yet you've let him live. Why is that?
The female voice started to answer.
I'm talking to Martin Gibbons. I'm talking to you, Martin. Why haven't you killed Thorsten?
The lightning suddenly stopped, and there was silence.
Well?
Jack asked again. Martin's eye looked down at the ground. He couldn't answer.
I'll tell you why, Jack continued. Because you know you're wrong. You know it's gone too far. You know that your madness is wrong, and you know that you've sinned. You've let him live because you want absolution.
I am God,
stuttered what remained of the broken man.
No, said Jack. You know deep down, underneath all that madness, exactly what you've done, and you want it to stop. You want to die. Hey, I can understand that. I know exactly how that feels. I've sought absolution from so many people.
He reached out and took what remained of one of Martin's hands.
So do it. Ask for forgiveness so that you can die in peace.
Martin's eye looked up at Thorsten. God looked up at his creation. The policeman looked at Jack, then knelt down.
"God?"
he asked.
"My sinful child!"
Martin screamed.
"You are Thorsten Hoyer, and you must be punished!"
Thorsten flinched, ready for the fire, but he didn't look away.
"You gave us life, but we're not children!"
God's voices boomed around him.
"No, you are our children. Forgive us. Forgive me. I will punish you. You need us."
The voices echoed across the chamber, schizophrenic and terrifying. Jack reached down to put a hand on Torsten's shoulder, giving him strength.
"What do you want?"
asked the young policeman, his voice quiet but becoming more authoritative. "Just say it."
"We want peace!"
screamed God.
"We want forgiveness!"
Then Martin's voice broke free once more, quiet, scared, and so old.
"Forgive me."
"I forgive you," said Thorsten.
And God took one last breath before he died. Later, out on the streets, Jack and Thorsten joined the crowds looking up at the sky. The lightning was fading away, revealing the velvet black sky and bright white stars.
"And Ed was right," said Thorsten, his face breaking into a huge grin. "He was right!"
"Course he was," replied Jack, taking his hand as they stared up at the universe. "Thorsten, you can't stay.
That's okay, I know that," replied Thorsten.
"And it's fine. I think we've had enough of gods and Torchwood."
"Oh, I'm not a god," replied Jack with a dark laugh.
"No, but you're going to go and avenge your friend, Gwen."
Jack considered this and nodded.
"Maybe we're all gods. Who knows? Perhaps we all need to take control of..."
He stopped as Thorsten pressed his lips against Jack's, and they kissed. After seconds, minutes, hours, centuries, the young man pulled away.
"Thank you," he said. "Now go."
Jack grinned.
"I'm going. But one day, I might come back, so you'd better be ready, Thorsten Hoyer."
He winked at Thorsten and activated his wrist strap. Then, in a flash of white light, Captain Jack Harkness was gone.
Torchwood, Red Skies, by Joseph Lidster, was read by John Telfer.